שלנו, לך בעצמך וברכתך ובית אביך תעש השעקה. תסחר גדול ברכך ולך שבך ויהיה ברכה וכל ברכך וברכת האום וזכור לך כל שחוץ הדבר. These are the two. We have our first encounter, first serious encounter with the Rav Avinu. And in a sense with the others and the tragedy in general. There's some factors here. Some case, the measure set of controversy as to what was the nature of their experience, and consequently with the heirs what is the nature of our experience, what is or perhaps ought to be. In a sense, it seems to be a very, perhaps too problematic character to the total spirit. Depending in part how one perceives what the nature of that experience was. Quite a departure, of course, the charge is given to Avraham. The initial charge is one of abandoning his purest fruits. Extract himself from his culture, from his country, from his home. Cut himself off in effect from his roots and striking out a new enterprise. One which presumably entails a new culture, striking roots, pitching his tent to new countries, El Shad. Obviously, it's very difficult. Every trying, every testing route to which you go. That you can perceive from a dual perspective. First, the departure familiar territory, which you would take heed to be the psukim, as little to guide us as to what the nature of the pure spirit has been, and therefore to what extent there has to be a rupture, a fracture, his life and experience. We'd like to familiarize this from childhood on with Avraham's early life and death. Ahmadus Doshim to tell the Machlekes, which was subsequently with Ahmad Ravid, but what Abraham's early life had been. Not past those details, but it was a spiritual aspect. That is, of course, the Chlegis, the River, the Shlokish, as to at what age Rovinu discovered the Vishwaram, or the formulation is not exactly accurate. Speaking of discovering the Vishwaram at a certain age, is to presuppose, to assume, this discovery. Early experience, if you want, in which he had not encountered the Rosh Lirum, at a certain age, presumably it contained some degree of maturity, encounters the Rosh Lirum, and undergoes an experience of that experience. Does that clearly the case? That's very variance of the experience. There's a medrash to antithetically perceive senses of what experience has been. One of the medrashes, the Quran was quote unquote discovered the relationship at the age of 3. Three is an age which is about the earliest perception that a child that this may have. A spiritual reality in general and the relationship in particular. Anyone who has contact with a child knows that right at that age there is some direct contact in past socialization. That's what all there is. In our experience, children but by then we started. As parents, we talk to children about the Rosh Lirum, but it's so abstract an entity, so abstract a reality, that at most and at best, yes, in a sense, in some vague reality, the name given to him, but he doesn't know what it's all about. And their parents who try to give a child some sense of what and who he's talking about. In some instances, one tries to concretize that experience by signing a certain name. The name is, of course, the Tanakh. But, leave that aside, you've created an artificial name. I remember one of the people I met when I was at Harvard, a good 3-year-old child, told the guy, his child, wait, Russian, his His name is Johnny Wilson. That's about it. Surely in those circumstances, the adoption, being adopted in one sense, adopted in another sense, the Rishayim, does not entail any rupture, any other discontinuity with previous experience. The notion of some kind of such rupture is seen to be foreign, alien to an infant. Mikoshi, you understand and internalize the existence of the venture. But she does not see that as being in some way with tension with the rest of his life experience. So many instances when the infant knows simply his immediate world, immediate context, and there's a Venschler, and the two somehow meld and gel. He doesn't know how, he doesn't say why. Well, that means, of course, is that his life, his spiritual life, more or less coextensive with the rest of his life. If at any stage, any phase of his life, he's going to relate to Vaishnavism, it's a relation to which an aspect of alienation, separation, will be essentially foreign. This is one view. There's another view, self appears in two distinct portraits, but by and large, the difference there is significant. If one assumes that Ravinu saw the version of the age of three, and the peg of which he has is that understanding is the Gematria Egyosha of Ravinu, that's the version of Tzitz Yitzchak, the beginning of Tildus, Egy of Gematria 172, Romans 175, so what was the Shema Bakuni begin? At whose, the earliest stage of life, to perceive and to experience a lifespan of 172 years. In contrast to that, the first 2 days, one of all was the celebration day was 40, and at the age of 48. Maybe the difference is not significant. Essentially, what both those views the message assume is that all we know. At some point, changed course, a course which to some extent was charted for him, and in a sense, was charted by him. So we have here two different deceptions of our spiritual religious history. That which swears the body of Eden was in reality described to women James Weiser's experience, and once more and twice more. There was not just quantitative one, but rather qualitative. James describes the book as the once born in a person who attains maturity once and finds himself from the outset, that's all he ever gets to know, in harmony, nature, culture, or society. And the sense that he has is that what life is all about. There's no bifurcation. There's no abandonment of one thing, the adoption of another thing. Life is smooth, or maybe life is easy. Attention to the once born is a totally unfamiliar category. The twice born, you're born again, when there's something lacking, empty, vacuous, after the early phase, the initial phase, and it's only after one has discovered that and moved on from the first to the second birth, when memory of the first birth, memory of its failures, of its crises, and of the quest, the need of seeking a new identity, an identity within which one is not alone, one lives with the past and into the future. In totality, it's a much more complex kind of experience. It's doubly complex. It's complex because there's something in the world, someone in the world besides him. And complex, generally speaking, because the new life which the second birth gives him, it is like to be in conflict between the first and second birth. And so it's likely the subcultural tensions, psychological tensions, some sort of social tension, which are characteristic of that second birth. From a certain point of view, one might say, well, contrary, he lives the second birth, pain second birth, but something unsatisfactory with the first, and therefore that will be the more complex experience, possibly. But generally one does not totally eradicate second experience, first experience, the acceptance of the second, and rather the two identities with which he's familiar, or the substance, meaning, and direction of his life. Where does Rav Avinu stand? So one view is a suffusely, a smooth, a vivid experience which he attains. That's the experience of the world, that's the experience of the transcendental, that's the experience of himself. So the two patterns towards the life experience in general and the spiritual experience in particular. Now where one assumes, asserts that there's been a second birth, one obviously would say tormented, but at least teased at the attempt to understand what the first birth had been like. And indeed, was it hard to find that in the Shenim? And presumably the Pesukim themselves. And a number of different scripts I can see of. One is to assume that the first birth, that engaged the person psychologically, spiritually, and it was just an empty sort of life. One which the great petty experience is dominant. And precisely in the sense of acuity, the absence of anything which is energizing and uplifting, which leads a person to move from the first and second birth. But then again, one might find the early birth inducing him to a life which is not vacuous, which is filled with experience, which is filled with great attention and dissatisfaction. Fascinating that the whole view of experience two possible scripts confront us. One is that from early age, for several decades from the first birth, lived a life not challenging, so not tormenting, and it was an almost flippant kind of experience. The other is to assume there was a life which had a spiritual direction, but an erroneous one. And it was that, out of that sense of error, he moves from one face to the other. Master Shenin, the one who raised this possibility was the Rambam. Rambam, the first character of him, so to cover him, describes about his early life later life, and present transition, the first and second. And in trying hypothetically to attain some kind of sense that that life had been, Hanuman, even was that seems the most likely, or what seems the most challenging, presents a scenario which for many of us would have been quite shocking. Rabbi says that all we knew for decades attended religious services of an idolatrous religion. And that seemed to be the natural thing. It was that which merged the social experience the sociologists in the present call the civil religion, not a spiritual one, one in which one's life as a citizen was intended to provide substance to his life as a religious as well. That continued for decades. There's no quest, there's no perturbation, there's no tension. There's simply a life led, one which, from a spiritual point of view, might be innocuous, but which looks beyond the civil. That's much to be desired. And that goes on to describe how Avinu led an early life, placid, flaccid, smooth, this minister. And it goes on a spiritual journey, which includes components which are partly metaphysical, like quest for the transcendental, partly moral, quest for the ethical, partly philosophic, quest for truth. And this brings you to a phase worlds in collision. First of all, and second of all, unable to live in harmony. And the result is Avraham the first, Avraham the second, finding souls at odds. Avraham sets out to meet the world, to meet the Vesher. As he sets out, because the Rambam describes a process which we only read the Sukkim in Chumash, we perhaps not assume I think they saw. In the past of the Chumash, on the slightest hint, what I thought was my life had been like. He's an adjunct to his father, prior to his father's culture. And if he moves from one place to the other, regardless of where he was born, it's not Masul Zichron. Eventually ended up there again. Or when he was born in Aram Naharaim, grew up within its bounds and parameters. He was at peace. And we have no sense. We're happy with what he had been. Ipsukim, the end of Noah, before we get going further on, seems to be maybe a gentleman farmer, maybe a small shopkeeper, maybe a lot of civil servant. Beyond that, anything exciting, anything challenging, anything stimulating, but then we know nothing. If we pick up any slight hints, the hints that our father knew, he's happy, content, and that's about it. I haven't been there. All of you knew could have undergone one or two scenarios. One that which the Rambam apparently preferred is initiating in his own process, which is turbulent, filled with anxiety, and filled with a sense of purpose and meaning. And one in which he is not called, not be born at the instant of the eventuator, but at his own certain point he begins to think and to question. Alternative would have been that was stressed in the Sukhi. So it's different from the Rambam. And two particularly stand out. One is Eger Shabbat Mabakuli, which can be understood in two ways. One, that was driving it to Shabbat Mabakuli, he heeded my voice, and that was the definitive element, his total experience. Or as you have over Koli, you hear my voice. Hearing the voice of the Benchleram is from a spiritual religious point of view part of the universal experience. It's time with another Chabot. Here's the Benchim Salam Tevagan, his voice, his presence fills their universe. Shabbat Mekuli could be understood then that Bekuli but Lekuli Abraham was called by the Rinshlev. As listen to that call, being challenged by it, which becomes the formative, the physical experience of his transition. Ve sebu siliyoruz. One of our form leading an easy, stupid life, and then we call us eventually on to leave that life. Shemad Ram Bekuli, Pada Bekuli is left of her. Move out. What about leading a life of ease up to a certain point, and then awakening at another point, and so there's an inner turbulence and a needful experience. For all of these scenarios, the Rambam, the periods, one might have had certain sukkim, and which indeed, when they had the medrash, and they had the ayvid, due to have any case. Just really briefly, these are simple questions. How long? How long was it? Depending on how long it was, rather depending at the point at which I've already started, that molded the character of subsequent experience, because he does not, in a sense perhaps even cannot, totally wash the early experience out of his hair. Memory of where he had started, where he had been, is part of the patrimony of Rav Avinu, even after he's heard the voice and acted according to that voice. And he did his call. And Rav Avinu is told, Lech Lecha, cut short, move on, start a new life, the one in which the sense and presence of the old life is still one of the components of the new. And what did the first version tell them? The two phases the person is called to for. The first is that which we have the meaning of this week's parasha. To go forth, abandon Auschwitz, Nazism, and basically for. And moving on to where? El Shaddai. That's all just where it is. That's all what it is. And the fact that it's an open-ended demand, an open-ended command. Sirat Sharaka is very different from that which subsequently we read, we hear about Jesus' bond with us as well. And I swear to Sirat Sharaka. I swear as a specific geographic entity, which is a specific spiritual entity, and to go to Eretz Yisrael is to be there and to be only there. And why is the Sutus of Rav Yisrael? Yisrael Chazal says, Eilu Tmima, Gubar Sazon, not to roam the world in quest to research. Avraham is left to do that. And also Sharaipa. So for the time being, Avraham is told, leave where you've been, start out a new life. And unlike what you did previously, I was reading, you had built your own world, your own spiritual universe. Now, to some extent, you're still in the picture, but also, you have to move the country to which you will be assigned by the Mashiach. So henceforth, you will leave with Rifa, and you will stay there with you. And the first birth, the second birth, had to coalesce within his personality, within his worldview, for world experience. That is the first call. We were sure of him. But where the reality of Avinu's life, purpose and direction, because most substantive and universal, and when he's told, observes the birth of Yitzchak, said about what Avinu had been at the time of the second birth. Kvitamim is not to be in conflict, it's to have a clear identity, a defined one, a perfect one, if you will. And so by the time we get to the end of the Siddur, we have a current Rambam and Avraham Avinu's view, who has the only identity of decades in temples, at the same time, in relation to the Ben Shmuel, in the Fenevi Yitami. It's left to him, find his path, who is he going to be, what is he going to be. Now this is bound up with the second aspect. As I'll say, this is what you said, Tfila, Avraham, okay, Yisrael, okay, Yaakov. If you mention individually, and each mention is always tells us something about the nature of Avraham's life, And what was truth be tovim? And what was therefore a dual identity? The first, that of the Rambam, second, that of the Ravid. There's an aspect to the existence. Once he takes out Israel, he brings down to us national, in other words, universal, cosmopolitan. That is Avraham Avinu, reaching us Israel, becomes Tumim. Because the Ramban is chastised for leaving us Israel to go to Mitzrayim, even in times of famine. That's the Avraham. And we ask ourselves in some refreshing, both at the level of our understanding of Avraham, at the level of trying to understand where we stand vis-a-vis Avraham, the answer is we're both once born, twice born. We're both side the mantle of identity of Yetomim. Without question, without question, and at the same time, we have a universal role, universal roots, and universal destiny. Well, we speak of this way, of course, with regard to the totality of his personal role, assumed first at a singular personal level, and then expanded. For us, as Ben Taylor, we have a dual identity in a certain sense and a single identity in another sense. Each of us experiences, lives a personal spiritual identity, personal odyssey, but none of us starts to be religious. Each of us works out our relationship eventually within a context which, on the one hand, is clearly very sharply defined in half categories, and in other sense, it's part of that same moral, intellectual, spiritual quest which animated and agitated our worldview at the time. We come to Yeshiva to learn, to build ourselves, and we do with an eye to attain a dual function, enriching, enhancing, deepening, intensifying ourselves as individuals, ourselves as members of Klal Yisrael, with unique destiny and the role that it plays in historically, of which we are a part, and with an eye to all facets of that experience. Not long ago, Gvendolyn Yom Kippur, part of the Hazayas Adam, towards the end of the verse, Zohar Sajjad 43-47, Gregor 7 Hazoris Tarash Mizbeach four corners of the Mizbeach, and it's epicenter, small Mizbeach, Mizbeach HaZohar. And his whole theory of Teoi Kitsho is to purify, to sanctify the Mizbeach. The Rashi speaking in the voice of Chazal says, what is Teoi Kitsho? Teoi Shoava, Kitsho Shetit. Purifying our past, retrospectively, and spiritualizing prospectively our future. It's part of our identity of the soil in its past history, and that is the soil in its future, which we want to be a part. And which we're fortunate to be able to be a part. It's that simple rule. We're going to be a much simpler life. The last one, Rosh Sharaka, I asked to narrow themselves to their identity. Left. With prerogative surveying existing the world in its totality of Sharaka. We have a collective destiny, but identity at the same time, a very particular, very special destiny. So much about fears, so much about for Skanda Tanakh is grounded in the duality, the dialectic between the particular and the universal, between the cosmopolitan and the individual. It's a challenging task, but part of what we learn is fears for Avraham and the others. The challenge is to be enriched, the challenge is to be commanded, the challenge is to bind and bond ourselves to the Vishnu. Looking back to our past, looking forward to our future. And we say with full kavana, so the awareness what a special character being material is, a shrinking of a tip of a cane and an emulator of understanding. And saying that, you give friend view expression through that possible Schweiss soil towards the talent of being material is, what the tale of a teacher is. But the dual perception, dual experience, Aras Yareka, and Yitomim is. It was the rest of Shema Yisrael that they developed. Shema Yisrael. That's a special of Yitomim then. Hashem Akir Hashem Echad. He's ours, and we're his. He is one. And recognizing the multiplicity, the wonders of that identity, that challenge, we stay daily on top of Canaan, maybe later, we have for you. And our time is up. I promised that my sanctified self. I'll get back to another occasion and discuss some of the details. This is a mission today.